I want to talk to you about something that we talked about at work. And in my field of work, or what I do for a living, is I work for a commercial builder, and we build all kinds of things, but specialize in building churches. And we sit down with our clients, and we talk about certain things. What are their ministries? What are they doing day in, day out? What do they do outside of their worship? What are the things that they do that drives what kind of church they are? That helps us in the design, because we want to build a building that facilitates the ministries and the things they do in their church. We sat with the church one time, and when you build a building, you want to build and plan for growth. That's part of what we're doing here on earth, is providing a place of refuge for hurting souls, to bring people into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. This church, when we sat down with them, they said, we don't plan to grow, we don't plan to expand. And how sad is that comment of a church that doesn't want a plan to grow, that doesn't want a plan to expand? Sad. And so this afternoon, what kind of church do we want to be? Do we want to be a church that grows, or do we want to be a church that doesn't want to expand? And I would like to talk to you about three influential things that I believe that will help us to determine what kind of church we want to be. One being, what are we doing together as a team? What are those things that we're doing? And I don't want to go into all the different ministry opportunities and things that we're wanting to do and wanting to accomplish in 2019, but what defines what kind of church we are is what we're doing together as a team, as a family of people, cause of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, or in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about we are many members but made up of one body. And we all bring different talents, different abilities to the table. But collectively, as we do things for the cause of Christ, and we do things as a church, we bring something to that table. Thomas is one of my greatest friends. Thomas and I don't have a lot of things in common. Thomas is good at a lot of things I'm not very good at. But what Thomas and I, we're on a team. He stands in the gap that I have no idea what that gap consists of. And I think that you all know what I'm talking about. He reaches a different level of people. He has a different level of knowledge in life than I have. But together, Thomas and I can accomplish greater things than if it was just Michael by himself. And that's true of all of us when we put it all together for just us. We're many members but made up of one body. And when that body works together, that body can accomplish a lot more. Many of you know that I was in an accident 6 months ago, and I hurt my ankle, and the restrictions that came with that injury. There were a lot of restrictions. My ankle hurt, but guess what else hurt? Finances. Physically, my body hurt. My back hurt. My legs hurt from one leg overcompensating for the other leg because the other leg couldn't work. My spirit was a little down because I couldn't go to work and provide the way that I want to. My drive is to go work, and I had to sit in a recliner for 3 weeks. When one part of my body was affected, it affected the whole body. And to collectively, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it teaches us that when one person doesn't do the thing they're supposed to do, it affects the whole body. Where's the hearing? Where's the seeing? Where's the touch? And I think sometimes when we want to talk about what kind of church we want to be, ultimately it's defined by what we're doing together. Not one of us, not 20% of us, but 100% of us. And I want us to remember that. The second thing that I think governs or influences what kind of church we are is what kind of family you have and what kind of family you are. The things you do as a family, just not church family, but you moms and dads and kids, or you grandparents, or you individual looking to get married one day. You, your family. What you do matters and defines who we are as a church. And let me explain. The way the church progresses and the way we accomplish things matters by when you go home and you turn on and off a switch. You You cannot leave this building and you cannot turn off the Christianity switch and live a life that you are not supposed to live. You're to take the things that the Bible says and the things that are preached and the things that are talked about here, and you are to apply them even outside of these walls. Let me tell you what it does when you don't do that. It destroys young kids' faith where they don't want to believe in the Lord Jesus. I promise it happens. And people don't want to talk about Jesus because when you go home, it's chaotic. It ruins children. It ruins the growth of the church. And you want to talk about who we want to be as a church? We won't grow if you turn on off a switch when you go home. And I don't want to be a part of that church. I want to be a part of a church that wants to grow, that wants to plan for expansion. That's the kind of church I want to be. And guess where it's influenced by? It's influenced by our families. Matthew chapter 15 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." You know, there was a time in several of our lives we did things privately, and guess what? When it all came out one day. It's happened to me in my life. I lived a certain way, and I came to church and put on a smile. I loved Jesus, and I left the walls, and I did whatever Michael wanted to do. It all came to fruition. And we have to be careful in our families, the way we do things, when we arrive on church early, when we instruct our kids to work hard and to earn money, to give. It's a season of giving. Let's give to others. When we set certain parameters in our house, it spills into the congregation and it affects the drive that we have in the community. When little Johnny doesn't want to sweep the floors at his house, what makes you think he wants to sweep the floors of the temple or the church or the synagogue? He doesn't want to do those things because he doesn't do it in my home. When he has to respect mom and dad in front of church people, but he goes home and doesn't have to respect them, or mom and dad doesn't respect them, the children. Don't turn on and off a switch. I promise you, it'll destroy that child's life. As a family, sometimes it's about the small things. I remember growing up, and when Hannah and I we're talking about certain standards and certain things we wanted to implement in our life when we were to grow our family. And we were very young in our marriage. One of the things that stood out to us is arriving early. Brother Dusty and Sister Paula would be at church. They'd be the first people to church. J.R. and Carmen, the first people to church. And you know what? We were influenced by that. Something so small, yet it drove it home for us. Guess what? I learned more about Dusty and Paula, and I learned more about J.R. and Carmen through those 15 minutes I just showed up early than I ever have throughout the rest of the week. We're all busy. 15 minutes makes a world of difference when showing up to church, and I appreciate Dusty and Paula. I appreciate J.R. and Carmen for doing that. Now we have a drive to want to be at church early, to learn more about each other. Life is crazy. There's not a lot of time in the day, but 15 minutes makes the world of difference. Get up 15 minutes earlier. I believe you can. Another thing is, one day our doorbell rang, and if you've ever rang my doorbell, you know it's a welcome when Zeus goes barking at the door. But our doorbell was rung, and took us a while to get the dog settled down. But when we finally got the dog settled down, guess what was on our doorstep? Hot cinnamon rolls. Hot cinnamon rolls, and I welcome that at any time. But what that did is Aunt Jill Fleming brought those cinnamon rolls at her time. She went to the store and bought ingredients. She took the time out of her day to bake us some cinnamon rolls. She took her money and she drove her vehicle and and used fuel and all the other things, and she took time out of her day just to go drop off cinnamon rolls. And we could talk about all the ifs, ands, and buts, but stepping back, the overarching principle is she was teaching her children, her family, something. That's to give. Not expect to be or anything in return. I had not done anything for Jill. She just dropped off cinnamon rolls. And when we talk about family, and we talk about what kind of church we want to be, Sometimes it's about the simple and small things that makes the greatest impact in somebody's life. Bringing dinner to those who have a life event, a death in the family, an injury, a child, those things make a lot of difference. And it brings warmth and welcome into people's lives. The last thing that I think, or one of the other things I think, that defines who we are as a church boils down to the individual. You, me. What the church does and how successful church is and how far we can reach depends on you, what you are doing. Not your wife, not your husband, not your mom or dad, you. You have the greatest impact in the connections you have in your life. There's a saying that says, idle hands are the devil's workshop. That's true. A lot of times we want to talk about involvement, how other people aren't involving us, yet we're sitting idly by, not doing what we ought to be doing. We dabble in this and we dabble in that, and we wonder why we're in this predicament. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says, commit your works unto the Lord. And in Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And if we're going to be a people that wants to help the church and we want our church to grow and we want growth in the church, it starts with us, and whatever we do it under the Lord. Not sitting idly by. I know this may come to a shock to you, but let me paint you a picture of my childhood. I wasn't always outgoing, and I wasn't always able to talk to a brick wall or a stranger. I was fortunate to be the oldest of five, but we traveled around the United States living from place to place, moving here and moving there. Guess what? We never made friends. We just couldn't. There wasn't enough time. There wasn't enough time to talk about sports because every town had its own sports team. There wasn't enough time to go ride bikes with Johnny because we were moving by the time we got the bikes out. And that's an exaggeration. We did ride bikes. But there was just not enough time. But what I had was I had family. I had brothers and sisters, and we rode bikes, and we went outside, and we played, and we did all that. But there wasn't time to meet friends, and there wasn't time to make acquaintances. I remember vividly, time after time, being made fun of because I was the new kid. Didn't have the newest clothes, didn't know all the newest teams, and everyone has their sports apparel and all this, that, and the other. But I remember sitting at lunch with Jesse and Samantha because no one else wanted to sit with us. I remember that. And you may look at me today and be like, there's no way Michael could go talk to anybody. No one wanted to talk to me. And I was scared. I didn't know anybody. There was no one there I knew. And then when we came here in 2001, things changed. And mom and dad bought a house, and we bought land, and we moved in, and we went to school, and now was our time to build relationships. I got to meet the Conrads, and I got to meet the Flemings, and I got to meet Thomas, who was coming into town trying to move down here with the Lowrys, and I built relationships. I sought after that because it was something that I had not had in a very long time. I involved myself in people's life, the Dillons and others. I involved myself. And you want to talk about what church we want to be? It starts with us and how much involvement you put into the church. You can sit idly by and you cannot do a thing. It'll hurt the church. We are many members, made up of one body, many families, and a lot of individuals, but the most impact comes from you, the individual, and what you do in life. I just want us to be careful. I want us to be a church that wants to grow, that wants to bring people the knowledge, the blessing of Jesus. That church sat there and said, we're not planning growth. We're not planning expansion. As we head into 2019 and the leadership decides to move a certain direction within the confound or the parameters of the Bible, Let's be all in 2019 as a church, as a team. Let's be all in 2019 as a family. And let's not turn on and off a switch because we're living for Jesus and Him alone. And let's be all in for Christ because we're the individual who wants to serve Him.